Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench. You join us on a day where Cork have lost out to Tipperary in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. A 7-point win for Tip down the Páirc. We'll talk to Mark Landers about that in just a couple of moments' time. We'll have a reaction from the Cork Miners win over Tip as well, and reaction from the Cork Camogie victory last night over Limerick. That sees them into the semi-final. Also going to talk about the final day of the Premier League season. Manchester City crowned champions. Going to talk to Cork County Cricket Club about their year ahead. And we'll hear from Luca Allen, the young Corkman, winning in the Formula 4 series over the weekend. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on as well. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. So it's ended in victory for Tipperary this afternoon. An impressive win for Tip, 228 to 124 was how it finished on the Páirc. Former Cork captain Mark Landers joins us on the line now. And Mark, I'm a bit stunned after watching that. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, Tipperary, I suppose they came with a game plan, Rory, and their forwards, I suppose. When you come away from the game, having scored 224 out of 228 tells its own story. Even though, I suppose, a lot of Cork people going into the game would have been worried about our full back line. In actual fact, Sean, I don't know who, Cadigan and Niall O'Leary in particular had a very, very good game, but the problems emulated out the field. You know, I suppose even from the throw-in, this loss of Bill Cooper to this particular Cork team was a monumental loss. And I thought there was a huge amount of ball was flowing from the half-back line. The three Mars in particular and on midfield, Noel McCress, supplied a huge amount of ball into the forwards. Good quality ball into the tip forwards. And I suppose in some respects, then they punished us on a consistent basis.
As you mentioned, Bill Cooper's departure just before throw-in would have affected this Cork team. Who would have been set up to have Bill Cooper on that team. How much of a psychological effect was that going to have on the Cork team heading out today?
Yeah, I think a big thing, Rory, because I think we all know there's a couple of, you know, there's a couple of real leaders in this Cork team. Hannity being one, Bill Cooper being another. I mean, Bill's loss was monumental, I think, particularly to this Cork team. You know, he's had a magnificent career in the last number of years with Cork, but also with McKinley winning a county as well last year and was a driving force with the club holiday last year. So his loss was huge, but I suppose it gave an opportunity to the likes of Robbie O'Flynn today, who, you know, was in and out of the game. But overall, I suppose, you know, I suppose on the positive side, Cork were out of the game in the first 20 minutes and went 5 or 6 points down and actually got themselves back into the game. Particularly Luke Mead, I thought, carried some fight to Brayer in the first half. He got a number of frees, which Patrick Horgan finished. But I suppose on the overall, maybe it was a bit of a false hope at halftime. We were only point down. Tipperary had a penalty saved as well in the first half. But I think, you know, in the overall context of things, it's a game under the belt. As we know, there are 4 matches to be played. We've got to go down to Limerick now next Sunday with a match being played. And the big thing for us and John Myler is that, you know, can he pick the lads up off the floor? Because they'll be hurting tonight. They'll be really, really disappointed to have been beaten at home by Tipperary. But I suppose it's a match under the belt. But, you know, there's no stiffer test than going down to the Gaelic grounds playing against the All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, certainly so. I mean, like, there's a lot of talk in this round, Robin, that you have to win your home games. You have to win your home games. A lot of emphasis on that. Cork are under a tremendous amount of pressure now after today's defeat.
They are under pressure now. They're on the back foot now. There's no point in saying otherwise. But they're I suppose 2 in a row Munster champions as well. At the same time, you know, they've been to the All Ireland semi-finals. They'll have to call on that experience now going down next Sunday. And you know, they're not going to become a poor team overnight. I suppose you can see Liam Sheedy's stamp is all over this Tipperary team. It seems as though it's a kind of a last hurrah for an awful lot of those players, and he certainly got a tune out of them, and no bigger tune than he got out of John Bubbles the Wire. I mean, he was absolutely magnificent today. I suppose it is disappointing from a Cork perspective that we never at any stage got to the grips with Bubbles the Wire today. He was immense. He was all over the field. His striking was phenomenal. And I suppose that's one thing that we, you know, the Cork will have to look at and say, look, we needed to tighten up on one or two of our players, and we failed to do that over the course of 70 minutes.
We'll hear from John Myler a little bit later on in the show, but he spoke on RTE afterwards, and his assessment was that Tip were more fluent, more mobile than Cork, and Cork were too reliant on Patrick Horgan. Is that the case?
Yeah, well, look, we all know that Tipperary stick work is absolutely magnificent, but it's magnificent if you give them time and space. And I felt on too many occasions, you know, Cork left Tipperary forwards loose. They weren't upping their men, tightening their men. And, you know, yes, fluid, but, you know, that comes from training. Yeah. I suppose, you know, we saw them in the league against Tipperary, against down the Park Ring when they came back from a week's warm weather training. They were magnificent that night again in the league, where they clipped over a similar score, but their hurling was top notch. And he's dead right about Patrick Horgan. I mean, what a performance Patrick Horgan gave for us today. I mean, he scored, you know, 3 or 4 points from play that were just, like, in terms of the scores over there today, they were magnificent scores. But I suppose, you know, an awful lot of the Cork players will have to go away tonight, like, and say to themselves, look, you know, what kind of an effort did I put in today? What went wrong for me? How can I correct myself? You know, and it starts with the individual themselves. They'll have to get a better performance, you know, individually first before you go at the team. But I think you came up against a very, very good Tipperary team today. And the one thing I suppose that people, you know, that weren't at the game, everyone mightn't have seen it, is that I thought the referee, Seamus Keogh, on a number of occasions was poor. He gave a couple of decisions against Cork at critical times, particularly when Cork went after a second goal. Patrick Horgan won a great ball. Seemed like he stepped inside his man, and it looked like he was holding him out, and he gave a free out against Patrick Horgan. It was a big call at the time, and it was a decision, like, I think the game would have been back to 4 points, maybe even 3 points, and I thought that decision against Patrick Horgan was very, very harsh, you know?
Yeah, there was a couple of decisions that Sean Clare made that the Cork crowd weren't happy with, probably retaliation for getting hit in the back of the head with the ball in the first half.
I don't know. But even the penalty in the first half, and I was at the opposite side of the field, but it looked to me that Niall O'Leary had got in a very, very good tackle, you know, the Tipperary forward was going through about to shoot, and it looked like he had flicked the ball off of his hurley, and he gave a soft enough penalty, but I could be mistaken now when I see it back in the television later. But I thought overall, I didn't think Seamus Clare endeared himself to the Cork supporters or the players today. But that's only probably nitpicky at this stage. We were out hurled. I think we had long stages today, but I suppose, you know, it is all about getting back to getting back now and getting the lads back up off the ground for next Sunday against Limerick.
Yeah, and it's a good thing as well that the game is next week, because they don't have had too long to lick their wounds, I guess.
It is, and, like, you know, we'll see now what the Cork team is going to be made of, and the players of the likes of the Hamleys and the Connolly-Hans and the Patrick Horgans, and I suppose Owen Cadigan played very, very well. He had a full forward today. He had his hands full with Seamus Callan and Nash. Like, they're the natural leaders of the team. It'll be up to them now to drive it on again for the next couple of days in training, just to pick the lads up and be positive, because we did go down during the league this year against, you know, the All-Ireland champions, and we beat them below in their own back garden. So, I mean, we have done it in the league, but Cork will need to bring intensity to the game next Sunday that we haven't seen. And like, you might have the Damien Cahalans, you might have the Aidan Walshes maybe starting the next day for a bit of physicality and stuff like that. But unless we can mix it a little bit more, you know, we're just going to struggle to get scores, I think, up front. You know, we had an opportunity, I think, for a goal in the first half. Lehane, you know, like, he does, I suppose, there's a massive weight on his shoulders. We expect so much from him. But he raced through in the first half, like, and he really should have kept going. Like, if that was TJ Reid, if that was Joe Kenning, they'd have kept going, put the head down and went for the goal. I thought the easy option was to put it over the bar. To me, at that stage, a goal is what Cork needed to ignite the team, you know. I felt at that time like there was a goal required, and he should have put the head down, because there are very, very few goal chances that you get in matches, and that was one, you know, he should have seen it, that was the opportunity was there. I should have went for it, you know.
All right, Jim. Mark, thanks very much for talking to us today. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll chat to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Mark Landers there, former Cork captain, speaking about Cork's defeat to Tipperary this afternoon. Very, very disappointing. Would like to hear your views on it. If you'd like to send us a text or a WhatsApp, 086 8104 106 is the place to send that to us. 086 8104 106, or you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. We were asking people for their one word summary of the game over on our Twitter page, and a lot of responses coming in. We'll get to those in a little bit. But disappointment for Cork, as I mentioned to Mark in this round robin. You just have to win your home games. So much emphasis being put on your home games, and now Cork are certainly on the back foot, and heading to Limerick next week, certainly not going to be an easy task for the Rebels. So very disappointing this afternoon as Tipperary emerge from Porky Quay. with a 7-point victory. One positive though, the pitch was absolutely immaculate today. Immaculate. It looked fantastic. It held up really, really well. So congratulations to everyone who worked on that pitch. It certainly held up very, very well, I know, taking a small bit of comfort from today's result. All right, we're going to hear from John Moyler in a bit. Kieran's on his way back. We'll get his views on it a little bit later on as well. And we're also going to hear from Moyler boss John Considine after Cork beat Tipperary 227-118 in the curtain raiser today. Also today in the Munster Hurling Championship, Waterford hosting Clare at Walsh Park. But it wasn't to be. Clare winning in a narrow, narrow manner. Clare 120, Waterford 22 points was how it finished. Exciting end to that game as well. But Clare seeing it out and winning by just a single point. In Leinster, Galway defeating Carlow at Salt Hill today. 124-18 points is how it finished in Pearse Stadium. In the football, Meath beating Offaly 113-14 points. Brian McMahon with the crucial goal there for the Royals. While the visitors Louth beat Wexford 22-114. In Connacht, Roscommon enjoying an impressive 317-12 point win over neighbours Leitrim. And in Ulster, Tyrone have beaten Derry today 119-113 was how it finished in Omagh. In football, Manchester City have retained the Premier League title. They had a 4-1 win over Brighton at the Amex Stadium. It sees them finish 1 point ahead of Liverpool and beat Wolves 2-0 at Anfield. Elsewhere, it finished Burnley 1, Arsenal 3, Crystal Palace 5, Bournemouth 3, Fulham 0, Newcastle 4, Leicester 0, Chelsea 0, and Manchester United 0, Cardiff City 2. What a result that is. Cardiff City, the side relegated when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was in charge, beating Manchester United today. The end of a very, very disappointing season for Manchester United. Big rebuilding job for them in the close season. Elsewhere, it finished Southampton 1, Huddersfield Town 1, Tottenham 2, Everton 2, and Watford 1, West Ham 4. In the League One playoff, Doncaster Rovers and Charlton Athletic going head to head today, and it was Doncaster Rovers who won by 2 goals to 1, winning by 2 goals to 1 today. Former Cork City man Kieran Sadlier playing 84 minutes of that game for Doncaster Rovers today. And in the League Two playoff, 10 minutes gone, Mansfield Town and Newport County scoreless there at the moment, with 10 minutes played. In Scotland, and Rangers beating Celtic by 2-0 in the Premiership earlier on today, but of course Celtic clinching the league title last week. Here at home, Cork City's women on the wrong end of an 8-goal thriller. Galway 5, City 3 was how it finished at Bishopstown earlier on today. Michael Hoey finishing best of the Irish in a tie for 30th on 6 under par at the British Masters. 10 shots off the Swedish winner Marcus Kinnelt. Paul Dunn finishing up on level par. And Lewis Hamilton winning the Spanish Grand Prix this afternoon ahead of his Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas. That means he retakes the championship lead. All right, we are going to go down now to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and get the reaction of Cork boss John Moyler, who's speaking in the press conference a short time ago. This is what Moyler said to the Assembled Media.
I think Tipperary were more fluent, sharper, more mobile, better support played on us today. Looked extremely hungry. They got a very good start with the goal. You know, they got a good advantage on us early on in the first half, and we brought it back to, you know, a point at half time. And I thought we'd get in at half time and we'd reorganise, you know, just back to the basics again and just get it right again. But you know, again they came out and at the second half and they really drove on again. And you know, that second goal they got up at the top end really, you know, kind of finished us off there. I felt with Seamus's goal, you know, that we were back in it. And then there was 3 or 4 points in, Hoggy was held up. It was a free in, free out, but it was a free out, so that probably would have brought it back to 3 or 4 points. And you know, Tip were just, they were more fluent, more better support player, hungrier probably than us, and that's really it.
It just had this,
no, it didn't. Look, it just meant reorganising. Bill is a, you know, a fantastic player, a leader of the team, really. He's one of the senior members of the team. It was a massive loss to us, but you know, that we just had to reorganise. Then putting Luke into midfield, who actually played quite well, I thought, you know, but we lost that then at wing forward, and then we lost Bill at midfield. But you know, that's not an excuse really, that you know, you have to be able to lose one or two players or through injury or whatever. And Yeah, look, it's 7 days, but that's the, I suppose that's the beauty of the Munster Championship. You know, the match is over. You just need to reorganise and focus now on Limerick next week, and you know, away to Limerick, and we need to get a win, and that's basically it. You know. Just that look, there's experience there of winning All Ireland and the Mars and that, and the two McGraths and that, you know, really, really good players who've been there, done that, seen that, and that bit of experience, plus Liam as well on the sideline, and Eamon O'Shea as well. So, look, you know, they were hungry, and after last year's, you know, losing out in the three in Munster, that focus, that hunger was really there, and that's not happening a second time, you know, again. And we didn't match that. Yeah, the positives were you know, that Sean O'Donoghue, Cadigan, and Niall O'Leary. You know, Niall O'Leary for his debut was a 21-year-old, was really, really good, you know, but just further out the field where the problems were, and that's really it, and we need to remedy that and rectify that before next Sunday against Limerick, because Limerick will be hopping next Sunday in the Gaelic grounds, full house again. You know, so as I said to you, that's the beauty of this exercise, that it's over, move on, forget about it, and get ready for Limerick next Sunday. Yeah, I was happy at half time. You know, the wind was picking up, and you know, it was strong, it was weak at times, and I felt that we just get back in at half time, reorganise, resettle, you know, just get focused again, but Tip just came out of the blocks again. So, you know, I thought they might tire in the second half because they put an awful lot of energy into the first half, but they didn't. You know, and that goal then really, it was clinical, and that gave them a cushion then going into the end. And as I said to you, I thought Seamus's goal coming down at the, you know, towards the end of the second half, that we would have the momentum then, and it was a free out or a free in, whichever way it was, and he gave the free out. So, you know, we'd have got it back to 3 or 4 points then, and we would have had more momentum, but that wasn't to be. Yeah, but you know, you need to keep the scoreboard ticking over, and we said that during the week. We need to keep doing that, and if the opportunities, you know, if goal scoring opportunities come, then take them. And you know what I mean? Like Seamus's goal was really good, but you know, look, that's it.
Yes, John Myler there speaking in the press conference following today's 7-point defeat to Tipperary. Ciarán still down in Páirc Cuíve. We'll get a one-on-one interview with John Myler in a little bit, but for now we're going to hear from Tip boss Liam Sheedy speaking to the media in Páirc Cuíve.
Impressive. Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, unless you get a performance down here, Peter, you won't win. Thought we found a good level. You know, started very well. Give ourselves a few points of a cushion, but you know, our discipline in the first half probably cost us dearly. We gave them 8 points and placed balls, and that was a little bit of a down, but I just felt psychologically to go in the pint up, and we knew we had a little small bit of a wind in our backs in the second half was a help. And look, you know, we got a great start to the second half. We got to 3 or 4 and built on that. And look, I suppose I just felt John McGrath's goal was a piece of magic, you know, the way we worked the ball up, such a smashing ball across and ball into the back of net, and probably hard for Cork to come back from that. But fairness to them, they didn't go away. They didn't give me any, I suppose, you know, the last few moments, you just always feel with Cork they're capable of cracking in a goal or two. They got a wonderful goal, but as I said, thankfully we picked off some really nice points. I think we got 223 or so from play, so that's a good day at the office. You know, I think these guys can play. You know, I said it at the press launch last Monday week that I felt that, you know, we prepared really, really well. We knew exactly what was ahead of us. It hasn't been a happy hunting ground for us. We're coming down to play the team that are going for 3 in a row in Munster. But, you know, overall today was a really good performance. And, yeah, a lot to like about our display. But, like I said, 11 years ago here, you could take a bit of a break. You were into a Munster final and you could get 4 or 5 weeks off. But for us, it's just this evening, just got to roll back again and get ready for what's coming next week, which is Waterford into Semple Stadium, which is a massive match again. So it's great, but it's at the end of the day, I guess it's 2 points. It's 2 points in the bank. It's not anymore, you know. I mean, there's 2 points won't get you anywhere in this championship. You know, we've got, I think every game you see it today, you know, there was 1 point puck of a ball in the game in Walsh Park. So like, the margins are going to be really, really tight. This is a phenomenal championship. I think it's the best championship around. So whatever three teams come out on top are certainly going to have earned it. But you know, for us, like, one performance won't get you out. Today is a good start, and that's exactly what it is. But we need to go back, we need to rest our bodies. There's a lot of tired limbs there, a lot of lads put their bodies on the line for for 70 plus minutes. But yeah, I'm just delighted. But I suppose I'm a realist. I realise it's only 2 points. I guess, John, I'm going on what I see in training. You know, I've seen them up close for months now. I've seen the condition they've got themselves in. You know. You know, I thought every line, you know, like the heroic defending we done finishing up there was very, very much to like. But these guys were able to play, and you know, the day someone tells me that someone's at 29 years of age and is too old to play in Championship hurling is, you know, that's contrary to what I think. And like, in fairness, I have a massive competition within my panel. There's some of these under 21s are really, really good, so it's competitive. You know, there could well be changes again for next Sunday. There could be changes to the overall panel, but you know, it's competitive and has been for the last number of weeks, and I suppose that's what made me at ease with myself to know, you know, we've a really good chance of bringing the performance today, and thankfully we did. And no, look, I mean, you know, the recovery starts now. You know, we'll get the recovery in. You know, I think, you know, I suppose, you know, we have momentum and we're after winning the match, so you know, we'll be mad to get out and get going again and next Sunday. But again, we're well aware of the challenge that comes, so you just got to go back and do what these guys do. You know, as I said, they've got you know, with Tommy and Eamon and Dara beside them on the coaching side, and they've got Carves on the SNC. You know, they'll do. We know exactly what we need to do in terms of preparation for next Sunday. And again, it's a massive match back in Roan Home Patch and Turles.
As Liam Sheehan there speaking after their impressive victory over Cork today. We'd love to, if you were there watching it live, and if you were watching on TV even, let us know your thoughts on Cork's performance today. 086 8104 106. Tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. We'll read out a couple of those a little bit later on. Alright, was a good day though for the Cork Miners as they defeated Tipperary 227-118. 12 point win for Cork today. Jack Callahan scoring 2-3 for the Rebels. This is the reaction of Cork boss John Considine.
John, very, very comprehensive win over Tipperary.
Yeah, way more comprehensive than, like, how would I put it? We got all the breaks. Like, we were popping points from all angles. On another day, that wouldn't have happened. So the gap is probably unfair. It's probably not too reflection on how good Tip were. But look, no, we're not complaining.
A lot of great performances there. Dara Flynn on the ball for good part. Jack Cahalan scoring two magnificent goals as well. We spoke about him last week. He came to the fore as well, a few points.
He did. Very clever. All of them, right from start to finish. And even the guys that came on, weighed in with a few scores. Colin Walsh was enormous when he came in. We lost Darryl O'Leary, big player for us. And Colin came in. And even the guys, like, so we lost our two midfielders. The guys that came in there, they all contributed, which is what we've asked them to do. But, like, I mean, as you say, all over the field, there was big performances. And, like, when that happens, you know, when it kicks like that, the team is almost impossible to stop.
It must be very pleasing considering the trim in Tip game from last year. I know there's a lot of new players on both teams, but it's nice over for a lot of time.
Yes, and it's important in terms of maybe scoring difference at the end. Yes, if there's a few weeks on the same number of points, and it comes down to that, that could be important. But I think the more important, like, pleasing aspect is we have been playing well in patches, and the difference today was we 60-65 in the performance. Like, you know, I was worried that we'd have to give the performances we were giving in 20 minute patches and the ones we were giving in 40, because sometimes the effort was great all the time, but we just were, and putting it all together. But today they just seemed to, everything seemed to click.
That's John Considine there speaking after today's win, and everything certainly did click. Cork 227, Tipperary 118 was the final score from the park. We'll talk to Kieran about that when he gets back from Páirc Uí Chaoimh, because that was a great Cork performance, a great start. They just disappointed that the seniors couldn't follow suit against Tip, but we'll talk to Kieran, get his views on both games in a little bit. Alright, going to talk Camogie now, and a big win for Cork last night as they beat Limerick 113-4 points. Lauren Guilfoyle there for us, got the reaction of Cork boss Paddy Murray.
Paddy, another easy night at the office.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, a bit frustrated really with the overall performance. You know, we had a lot of attacks and probably didn't put enough scores on the board. No, I know. Look, they played two forwards inside the 45 for the majority of the night. So, you know, I just thought it was a frustrating game to watch, really.
You spoke the last day about your maybe kind of overplaying it in the middle third. Were you happier tonight that you didn't seem to be maybe losing too many passes or too many passes going astray?
No, and I suppose, look, I suppose in the first half was awkward to play play with, especially for our forwards. So you know, I thought that we were probably in for maybe a goal and a couple of points there, that just the ball just didn't stick inside, you know. So look, I suppose we've tip, I think, in 2 weeks' time. A lot of work to be done. You know, I'd be worried going into it, to be honest.
Limerick adopted a sweeper, but at times I felt anyway that it nearly played to your advantage, because Laura Tracy was able to mop up ball there fairly easily.
Yeah, I think they came with a game plan really of just trying to contain us rather than coming out to beat us. And look, we're well used to that. A lot of teams just set up that way, two forwards inside the 45 yard line, pack the middle third and play with a sweeper. So you know, it's frustrating to play against, but you rarely win a game playing that way, you know.
Limerick had a player send off. Did you see that tackle? What was your own opinion on it?
Look, it was a high tackle, but look, in the spirit of the game, I suppose maybe Red was harsh on it, you know, because look, don't think there was a dirty stroke in the game really, you know.
Mm-hmm. Aoife Murray had a fantastic game between the sticks despite that tackle, I suppose. 2 point blank saves from Niamh Mulcahy. It must be nice to see her getting tested this early on in the championship.
Yeah, look, yeah, it pulled off, particularly the one in the first half was a very, very good save, as good as I've seen her in the last couple of years. So it's nice to know that the reflexes are still there anyway, you know.
Heading into that Munster final, is that a game that you want to win?
Well, look, of course, any game we go into, you're going to win. You know, I would seriously say that we need to up the ante a lot now over the next 2 weeks, really, to have any chance of that, because, you know, look, tonight wouldn't be good enough.
And is that down to, I suppose, your approach to training over the last couple of weeks, that you need to kind of approach that differently from a management perspective, or is that from the attitude of the players?
Look, I just thought training has been going quite well, but I just thought we were flat tonight. Whether that is just that, I know a lot of them were doing exams and things like that, but, you know, Limerick would be in the same boat as ourselves, but I just thought there would be more intensity in our play.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that is Cork Camogie boss Paddy Murray speaking to Lauren after last night's win over Limerick. Alright, still to come on the show, we're going to hear from John Myler down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Going to go over the day's Premier League action, going to talk to Cork County Cricket Club, and we'll hear from Cork racing driver Luke Allen.
The Neil Prendeville Show
with Tesco Grocery Home Shopping. Save time online at tesco.ie/groceries. Tesco, every little helps.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. The Big Red Bench.
And Neil back on Cork's Red FM tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. Right, we're going to go back to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Ciarán has been chatting with Cork boss John Myler.
John, obviously disappointing start to the Munster Championship against Tip.
Yeah, it's disappointing, you know, but Tipperary got the momentum early on in the first half, and really the goal that they got kind of settled them, and then they went in 5-6 points, but we showed great character to come back, you know, to within a point at half time. But unfortunately then, you know, the goal they got, you know, started the second half, really kind of gave them 6 point cushion really, which you know what I mean, steadied them, and we were always really chasing, you know.
Yeah, he didn't go in too far back at half time on the scoreboard, but the fact that Cork were on the back foot there, was that
Tipperary were playing better, they were more fluent, they were more support play, they were better, you know, movement off the ball, on the ball, and that, and you know, taking much easier scores than what we were taking. But like, I felt that once we got in at half time we'd be okay, but it just wasn't to be.
Lots of uncharacteristic errors, fumbling the ball,
just you know what I mean, sloppy little things at times, but you know, they're caused by Tipperary putting you under savage pressure, and that was it really.
You mentioned Tip just came out a bit hungrier in that. You mentioned Liam Sheedy factor as well.
Yeah, but look, Tipperary are an experienced team, you know what I mean, all the Mars and the 2 McGraths and that, they've been there a while, so you know what I mean, they bring that to the table, and you know, we couldn't match that today.
Many positives to take out of it ahead of the game against Limerick.
The positives are our scoring was good, but we conceded, and you know, the Niall O'Leary, you know, and Cadigan full back line played well, and you know what I mean, but it's now focusing on Limerick next Sunday, and that's really key.
And a great goal from Hernley.
Yeah, but we got it back, and I felt with Seamus getting the goal back that if we had just picked it up then after that, but we didn't, and you know, Hoggy was held up for a free, or it was a free out or a free in, but it just didn't happen, and that's it, you know.
Bill Cooper obviously didn't start the game. He did the warm up. That can have problems on the line with tactics.
He was a big loss.
Bill was a loss. There's no doubt about that, because Bill is a leader within the group itself. But look, he's a big loss, and please God, we get him back right for Limerick next Sunday.
And look, lastly, that game against Limerick, it takes a new meaning, you know, again.
It's huge. It's huge. You know what I mean? All four games in the championship are huge. So you know what I mean, that we need to get a result in Limerick next Sunday. That's it.
Certainly have to get a result in Limerick next weekend. That is the message from John Miner. Easier said than done. The Munster champions going to the All-Ireland champions next weekend should be an absolute cracker. Fingers crossed that Cork and get right back on the horse and come back with a performance next weekend. All right, going to talk Premier League now, and of course Manchester City. I won't say crown the Premier League champions, because our good friend Dennis Hurley corrected us when I tweeted that earlier on today. He said they can't be crowned champions, they are already champions. So thanks for that, Dennis. So Manchester City have retained their league title with a 4-1 win away to Brighton today. Richard Newman.
Full time, Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Manchester City 4. City are the Premier League champions again, the first club in 10 years to retain the trophy, settling this incredible title race with Liverpool. There was a big scare for City in the first half when it went down to Glenn Murray's header, but Sergio Aguero equalised a minute later before Aymeric Laporte's header put them in the lead. City were a bit pedestrian in the second half, but put the game to bed with two stunning goals. Riyad Mahrez with a shot from the edge of the area and Ilkay Gundogan's free kick, both found the top corner, sending City fans delirious. They'll receive the trophy on the pitch here shortly. What a season. Manchester City retaining the title, beating Brighton 4-1 at the Amex.
Yeah, it's an incredible, incredible run. They finished on 98 points, 14 straight wins to win ahead of Liverpool. Just 1 point clear of Liverpool. They beat Wolves 2-0 at Anfield. We'll get the report on that in a sec. But City captain Vincent Kompany says being pushed so hard makes the victory even sweeter.
Back to back, I think it was the hardest and most satisfying Premier League ever. It makes me so much more happy. We played against such a good team all season, and when our backs were against the wall, we won at home at the Etihad, and that made a difference.
Yeah, celebrations there for the blue half of Manchester this evening. But Liverpool did their part with the 2-0 win over Wolves. Shane Pinnington.
Liverpool 2, Wolves 0. Jurgen Klopp's men fall just short in what was an exhilarating title race. They did what they needed to here, but unfortunately for them, so did Manchester City. Two goals from Sadio Mane did the damage. The first he swept home from Alexander Arnold's cross, and then Mane stooped to head home his second from 6 yards. Van Dijk hit the bar and Origi blazed over from close range as Liverpool looked for more, whilst Wolves' best chance saw Matt Doherty hit the bar in the first half. Liverpool finished on 97 points. And amazingly, the title goes to Manchester City, who finish a point above them. Liverpool 2, Wolves 0.
And Tottenham wrapping up fourth place today in Champions League football. Guy Swindles.
Spurs 2, Everton 2. Tottenham have done enough then to finish in the top four this season. Make sure they'll be in the Champions League again next year, whatever happens in this year's final. Didn't do it the easy way though. Dyer gave them the lead in the fourth minute, but Everton with two goals in 3 second-half minutes through Walcott and then Tosin turned this game on his head. They needed a wonderful Eriksen free kick to make sure they shared the points. Fair result on the day. Good one for Spurs though. Spurs 2, Everton 2.
All right, and the rest of the results from today. Burnley 1, Arsenal 3, Crystal Palace 5, Bournemouth 3, Fulham 0, Newcastle 4, Leicester 0, Chelsea 0, Manchester United 0, Cardiff City 2, Southampton 1, Huddersfield Town 1, and Watford 1, West Ham 4. Very disappointing season for Manchester United, who finished 6th, 5 points off the top 4. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer appointed permanent manager. Maybe are Manchester United fans regretting that now, or are the Manchester United board regretting that now? Considering the performance levels and results have significantly tailed off, I suppose, since he was confirmed as a full-time manager. So it'll be a very interesting summer ahead for Manchester United. They need to rebuild, they need to get players in. A lot of players need to go out. It remains to be seen what happens there, but a big summer and a big season ahead for Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Well, summer starts with the Munster Hurling Championship, as it did today. So that means the cricket season is certainly upon us. So it's time to check in with our friends at Cork County Cricket Club. Club stalwart Rob Duggan and overseas player Jeremy Benton from New Zealand popped in to talk to Ciarán yesterday, starting with Rob.
We were up in Malgier there for pre-season, doing a bit of indoor work before we went outdoors. And then we had a pre-season game up on Leash, which went really well. Good hit out, the weather was good. So yeah, we went straight into the first game against Galway and we got a good win. Followed up at home against Limerick City.
How long would you normally be doing for pre-season?
Pre-season usually start early February. Ideally, you know, maybe take a few weeks off post-season and then get into it, but facilities are a bit of an issue. But
yeah, we'll touch on them in a few minutes, but you mentioned playing Galway was it, I think, and that. Do you find it hard to get games? I know cricket's after coming on. There's a lot more clubs in the last few years, obviously, so it's probably easier to get games, maybe, but I can't imagine it's still very easy either.
Yeah, I suppose in Munster itself, there's a limited number of senior clubs. So our own club play up in the Leinster League, which is a much higher standard, and that's starting in June, so we're sort of building into that right now. So I suppose Jeremy came is our overseas player from New Zealand, so he's going to help out, and so yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, do you find it hard going in between the two leagues? They run concurrently.
Yeah, so we'd play say in Leinster on Saturday and then back in Munster on Sunday, so it's a lot of driving, but it's huge commitment from the guys, and we have to do it, and I guess most of us love it. But it's tough.
Well, it's easier to do it when you love it, I suppose. Jeremy, you're as Rob mentioned, the overseas player this year. How are you finding it?
Loving it. Good to be back in Cork. Really enjoyed my season last year with Cork County, and so it's good to be back, good to start off the season with a couple of wins with the boys, and looking forward to the rest of the season.
You're a very busy man. You're doing lots in the club at the moment, but before we go into all that, you were involved last week. How did you find it? Or were you playing last week?
So I was involved last week. We played Limerick City, had a good win at home against them. They're supposed to be quite a top team in the league, so it was good to start well, and a few boys had a good performance, so really good to start the season the way we have.
How are you finding the standards though, because like we mentioned, they're running concurrently, the Munster and Leinster, but obviously Leinster is a higher standard, so you're coming back playing not as high a standard and then going out the next day probably playing a higher standard. Like, that must be tough for any player.
It's good. I think Munster League has its own challenges, sort of different style of cricketers, which is tough as well. So although it might not be recognised as a high standard, there are really good players throughout all the teams, and I really enjoy playing both, because you've got to work on different facets of your game, and both areas. So I really enjoy it, and good challenge for the boys.
You mentioned you're back in Cork. How's that been going so far?
It's actually living in the same room as last year, so nice and familiar, living with a couple of the cricket teammates, Cormac and Harvey, so we've all settled in well and getting into some good routines, so really enjoying it, and should be an enjoyable summer.
Rob, you mentioned the Leinster League starts shortly in June, next few weeks. You've tough tie as well in 2 weeks in Belfast.
Yeah, we've our first round of the Irish Senior Cup, which is like the All Ireland Premier Cup competition, and that's up against Instonians in Belfast. So we're kind of, that's our first big sort of fixture that we're all preparing for. It's 2 weeks time, and you know, I think we're looking like we're going to be in a good place for it. Yeah.
Right, moving on from that tie in 2 weeks, Rob. Jeremy, you're heavily involved, I suppose, in the Munster setup. You're captain. That's a nice little gong to have.
It was enjoyable being captain for last three games of last year, and I think I'm in line for it this year, which was good. The boys really worked into the season and finished off with the first two wins of Munster's history, so hopefully this year we can lead on from that success, and hopefully see a few Cork players in it as well. So looking forward to it. We've got two festivals, one in June in Dublin and one up north in August.
How are you finding captaining the side?
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. Sort of keeps me well involved. Most of the players sort of know all their roles and everything, so it all runs itself. But no, I enjoy it, and yeah, hopefully can help the players where I can.
I don't know where you get the... You're already up the walls with everything else you're doing, but you're also involved in summer camps and underage training. But first, I suppose I'll touch on the underage training. What's the kind of setup with the Cork County Cricket Club?
Yeah, so we've got a few sort of different underage teams and trainings on different nights. The under-13s are on Wednesdays. They start at 4 p.m. and we've got the under-17s on Wednesday after them at 6. We also have the under-11s who train on Fridays at 6 p.m, which are great for beginners who want to get into the game. So there's a lot going on during the week. Down at the Mardyk, it's cool ground, especially during the summer, so the clubhouse buzzing and it's a great atmosphere.
And on top of all of that, you have summer camps coming up as well that you're also involved in.
Yes. So the summer camps, we've got them in the second and fourth week of July, I think it is. Really good activities for the school holidays, and the kids really enjoy it. I was a part of them last year and I had a great time too. So looking forward to helping out the kids this year too.
Can people still... find out more information on that and get involved in it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's, there's loads of information on the website, corkcountycricketclub.com. But yeah, all it is just email our youth admin and you can register a kid for it. Yeah.
There'd be good uptake on that?
There is, yeah. It was past 2 years have been really, really busy. Yeah. Even on like Friday nights for the under-11s, we could have up to 60 kids. It's a stress on our manpower, but it's great. It's great to see the interest.
Yeah, that kind of leads me into facilities and all the manpower you have to use and trying to get somewhere to play. That can't be hard because obviously you need a specific type of ground and stuff as well. Mm. But how hard is it to get venues? I know you have the Mardyk for matches and that.
Yeah, I suppose during the summer we're kind of okay. But we're also looking to improve our practice facilities at the Mardyk with sort of artificial nets and stuff. But during the winter, I think for all the clubs in Munster, it's really difficult, trying to find indoor facilities. We ourselves use Mallow GA, who are great to help us out. I know one or two other clubs are using Bannon Grammar gym there, so but yeah, it's something I suppose that needs to be looked at the upper echelons of Irish cricket, but be great, because there's so much interest here in Munster to harness, but you need the facilities to back it up.
Yeah, I see, correct me if wrong, but I often see lads out in the farm here behind us.
Yeah, UCC and, there's smaller clubs, junior clubs, minor clubs everywhere, so it's not just the senior clubs, but yeah, there's a real demand for a good indoor facility in Munster, really.
Yeah, and like, is the onus then on the clubs to kind of sort that out, or is it something that...
I guess it's sort of everyone, the clubs, the union, the Munster Cricket Union, right. And then Cricket Ireland probably need to help out as well. But yeah, it's something that needs to be looked at, definitely, for the future generations.
I suppose... they find it hard enough themselves, the top board will say, in getting facilities. I know they've said recently Malahide isn't the best type of venue. There's better venues, but that's what they use for the one days and that.
I think Craig Ireland have built a purpose practice facility out in Abbotstown.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to build a purpose ground out there as well.
Yes.
So I think the Belfast would have indoor facilities, Derry would, Dublin would, so I suppose the next step would be Cork.
Is there anything in the pipeline then? I suppose UCC have mentioned about moving out the road here. I know it's the college as opposed to the Mardyk Arena are moving out, but there'll be a lot of sporting facilities out there. That's what they're hoping to do, is build a huge campus.
Yeah,
is there a possibility that...
I think they're going to have a cricket ground in there. I think it's a huge draw for them, for especially Asian students.
Yeah.
So cricket's huge, the passion out there. So, I think they're definitely going to include a cricket ground. We're looking to improve our facilities at the Mardyk to make it sort of an Ireland A, that sort of level A facility. And I know Harlequins are improving their ground as well, so... The Cork clubs are making a really good effort, So yeah, it's there is huge potential here in Cork, okay. Definitely.
I'm not asking either of you to try under the bus or anything. I'm certainly not. But when they're putting on one day internationals, same kind of days, weekends as your own matches, that can't be ideal because you can't even go and watch the international side.
Yeah, it's difficult, I suppose.
I don't know, every sport has this problem. It's not just relative to cricket, but that can't help.
It's not ideal, but in New Zealand, what would...
Yeah, in New Zealand, if there's a one-day international or a game on in the city, they normally move the cricket game to the next day, so they'll probably try have it on a sad day. So I guess people can have an enjoyable time there and then look to move either a double weekend the next weekend or... move it to the following day, the Sunday, which works well because the majority of the people who want to watch it play themselves. So that seems to work well, so maybe that they could try that down the track and could increase gate sales. But hopefully they can get some support to the games.
We mentioned everything you've been involved in. I'm going to put you on the spot now, Rob. You're going to here for the long haul with Cork County Cricket Club?
Hopefully. It's sort of in the pipeline, sort of tossing up whether I want to sort of base myself in Ireland or in New Zealand. I guess I'm still young enough that I'm still able to play both seasons, and hopefully I can do that for years to come. The body's in good shape, I think, at the moment, and enjoying going summer to summer. Or if you call this Irish weather in the summer. But, it was an awesome summer last year, so I'm sure you guys will put it on again. But really enjoying playing for Cork County and living in Cork. Hopefully I can be there for the long haul.
I think we've got half an agreement there, Rob.
Yeah, I think we just need him to sign in.
Yeah, we'll sort that before we leave. Look, a very busy period. That must take some bit of a toll on the body because you're trying to train during the week. At the moment, you mentioned you're going to Mallow for that. And you're going to be playing Saturdays and Sundays. I know we already touched on it. It's a huge commitment, and you need bodies as well to help out. But that's massive.
Yeah. Come September, I think most of the guys are pretty done with cricket. It's great for the club to be playing in Leinster, also in Munster. So it's a bit of a pride thing as well, and you want to put yourself up against the better players and stuff, so especially the guys you want to play for, with Jeremy and the Reds, you need to be playing decent cricket and up against decent opposition. So it's tough, but I think it's worth it in the long run.
Standards always improving,
definitely. You can see it even amongst, we've been in Leinster for the past 10 years, and the first team have definitely, you can see that improvement, that increase in standards. We've done pretty well in Munster. We've won the league for the past 6 years, I think, so it has a benefit, and hopefully we see more guys representing Munster through the club.
Yeah, and you see more people getting involved in the sport. I know that when Ireland did well a couple of years ago, I'm sure there was a huge influx of people into the sport, but in any sport, like the Irish women's hockey last year, there was a lot more people get involved when they see the teams on the TV and that. Ireland cricket in the news at the moment, because they're playing the one day internationals. Do you see a bounce back off that?
You do, definitely. I suppose it helps that Sky Sports are always showing cricket, so it's always in the consciousness. We've seen more businesses want to get involved, sponsorship boys, lots of under 11s, under 13s. We got really big numbers. Whereas before, if you played another sport, say, hurling or football, you didn't play cricket, but now it doesn't matter, and that's good because you're getting good athletes and you're not getting the cast offs maybe. It's since I was young, which isn't too long ago, there's definitely been a huge upturn in interest overall.
Sponsors there, obviously another important part of the sport, any sport.
I suppose our main sponsor would be Barney Castle. You guys help us out from a publicity point of view. River Lee and Dennehy's gym have been really helpful. Without those, without their help, we can't improve the Marlake facilities. it's all about improving the team as well and just making it the best product we can for people who walk in off the gate, off the street.
Jeremy, obviously you're playing this quite a while, you're very young like Rob as well, but for people who, they might even just listen to this and you know, might give that a go or whatever, like is it difficult sport to actually just start off in, like?
No, I don't think so. I think with a lot of Irish, obviously we play hurling and sort of similar sort of concept, hand eye and that sort of thing. So especially with the growing nature of T20 cricket, short and sharp, and sort of done in 3 hours rather than the whole day. It's quite an easy sport to get into nowadays. And yeah, as you see all the games on TV and everything, hopefully that will sort of encourage the kids to get into it and get outside in the summer and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and finally, Rob, for yourself, people might want to just go down and see a game. How can they find out about those? They're all down the Mardyk, but how can they, games anyway? Where can people find out more?
Yeah, so the full fixtures are on our website, but we're pretty active on Twitter and Facebook as well, so you'll find out about all upcoming games. I suppose our next, the first team will be at home next Sunday against Kerry.
Strong team down there, actually. They have a strong setup.
Yeah, they always give us a good game anyway, to be fair. But hopefully we can get past them next Sunday. But yeah, look, all the fixtures are up on our website, and we're pretty active on social media, so we'd encourage anyone to come down. Even if you're just walking down the Mardyk just for doing your own thing, pop in. You can have a beer or a Coca-Cola.
Whatever takes the fancy. And Jeremy, talk to me about the setup of the team. The few new players maybe come in, young players as well.
Yes, yeah. So over the winter, I guess we've been quite fortunate. We've got the services of Harvey Wooten, who's the son of Andy Wooten, who's played for the club for a long time. We've got the established players like Ross Jurdy, Cormick and Rob here, and also a few good young guns coming through like Daniel Kennedy and Isha Sullivan. So I think it's got a nice balance between sort of experience and youth, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to sort of working with the boys, and I think we've got a good balance, and as well as sort of the people coming through, so no, should be good.
How's your work with the new guys, bringing them into an experienced enough team?
Yeah, I think it's just sort of talking to them about their game, talking about how I play my game, how others play their game, and sort of just working towards sort of a common goal. And the style of cricket we want to play, and it's just not trying to change their game too much, because otherwise that often doesn't work. So just sort of working with what they've got, and just it's all about taking the best options and following their game plan.
Okay, Jeremy and Rob from the Cork County Cricket Club, thanks very much for calling into the bench today.
No worries, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's Rob Duggan and Jeremy Benton from Cork County Cricket Club popped into Kieran yesterday to look ahead to their season. Best of luck to County, and you can follow them on Twitter at Cork_County CC, and do head down to the Mardyk as well. A fantastic place to watch a match, one of the most picturesque grounds in the entire country, I'd imagine. So get down to the Mardyk and be sure and get out and support County, and fingers crossed they'll have a fantastic season. We'll be talking to them a little bit later on in the summer as well. Alright, going to talk motorsport briefly before we wrap up. Cork's Luca Allen led from pole position to snatch his second win this weekend with a convincing drive in race 4 of the FIA Formula 4 SCEA Championship in the Buriram International Circuit today. This was Luca's reaction after the race.
A really pressurising race. I started on pole. I got quite a good start, but then Elias was just on me. I think I managed to get a bit of a gap on the first few laps, but it was really just by consistency. I think we were within 0.2 every lap. So, I think us two kind of got away from the rest, but he was really keeping the pressure on me a bit more pressure than I would have liked, but it was very relieving when I crossed the finish line. You just have, obviously your mind goes to things like, oh, he's going to catch Fajira, but you have to just keep remembering all your breaking points, all your apex points, and just you have to just focus on your driving really, and staying consistent, and that's what won me the race today. I think a really good weekend, two wins, a third, and finished second, but then obviously demoted to fifth in that race. So really good weekend overall, good points in the bag, and an increased championship lead. So we're going home happy. Back in Thailand next month, so hoping for more wins, more points, and yeah, another good weekend.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Congratulations there to Luca Allen after a fantastic weekend for him. Great stuff from the Corkman, who's got a very promising future ahead of him in motorsport. Kieran O'Regan is back from Páirc Cuíve on a massively disappointing day, Kieran.
Yeah, just Cork, I don't know, they just didn't turn up. They were second to everything.
A lot of people complaining about Cork's lack of competitiveness from puckouts.
Is that a new story?
It must be. That's the message we've been getting on our Twitter. Anyway.
It just they were just very poor. Tip were just really up for it, and Cork didn't seem to be as up for it. And they're under huge pressure now because they're playing the All-Ireland Champions next week.
Have to win your home games as well, like, you know.
Limerick didn't play this week. They're going to be fresh going into that. And if they lose that, the championship is almost over already.
Very quickly, Mark Lanner's highly critical of the referee today. Said he could have awarded Cork a couple of chances or a couple of frees in the second half.
Okay, this isn't defending the referee. It's very hard to make judgments when you're sitting in the very front row at the side of the pitch. Towards the end, possibly, there was a lot of people on about Hoggy probably should have got a free.
Yeah, that was a free one.
That's all right, yeah, that could have been the other way.
Was it retaliation for getting hit in the back of the head with the ball in the first half?
You'd wonder, did he get concussion? Because the lump was bigger than a golf ball. See, he was talking.
Have you ever been hitting square in the head?
No, but last night I did get hit at the back of the leg, and it's all swollen and bruised at the
moment. All right, we're coming right out of time. We'll have more Gaelic games on next week's Big Red Bench. Thanks very much indeed for tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench. Our podcast will be online very shortly, redfm.ie. And on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify as well. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red. We're back next week. We'll have all the best from our Cork and Limerick on next weekend's show. Enjoy the rest of your sunny Sunday, folks, and we will talk to you next Saturday from 6 p.m.
The Big Red Bench.